Hello, I'm Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, President of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us, and I want to extend an invitation for you to join us each and every week at this same time and on this same station. It is our prayer that God is using these programs to minister to you wherever you might be in your spiritual life.
Can you imagine if you ever had the opportunity or you were able ever to experience seeing God literally? What would that experience be like? Well, in Scripture, and in fact the title of this message today is Seeing the Lord. Seeing the Lord. And in Scripture, we have the case of an individual who literally saw God sitting on his throne. And we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at that passage and making application of that passage to life today and our own experience as Christians in this lost and dying world. But what would it be like if we had the ability to, at some point, somewhere during our life, have the capacity to see God? I mean, I know that as Christians, we experience God every single day. God lives in us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence. We are the Holy Spirit's sanctuary. We know a great deal about God, at least that which God has chosen to reveal about Himself through His Word. We converse with God, hopefully daily. And throughout the day, daily, through prayer and Bible study, we experience the love of God through fellowship with other Christians. We come to church, we come together corporately to corporately worship God, praise God, adore God, receive instruction and be fed by God, and receive direction, encouragement, and strength from God and other believers around us in church. But to be able to physically, literally, with your eyes, see the Almighty sitting on His throne has got to be an unbelievable, overwhelming, almost inexplicable experience. Isaiah had such an experience, and we're going to look at that experience Isaiah had and draw some points from that experience that he had. So we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at Isaiah chapter 6. But before we go to that passage, let's open in a word of prayer. Father, though we have not literally, physically, with our own bare eyes seen you, we know you are. We know who you are. We know what you have done. We know how much you love us. And we know with all certainty that once our physical life is done with here, we will be spending eternity with you in heaven. As we look at Isaiah's experience, may you speak to us loudly and clearly so that we may be conformed to the image of Christ and live lives that bring you honor and glory. For it is in His name that we pray. Amen. The passage we're going to look at today is Isaiah chapter 6. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." We trust that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. First of all, the first point I want to make is I want us to see God's holiness illustrated. God's holiness illustrated. First of all, we know from verses 1 through 4 that Isaiah saw the Lord. And there's a couple of points I want to make here. Listen, though he saw the Lord and though he saw the outlook, and the outlook was bleak, the uplook was glorious. Listen, and this is an application I want to make, particularly for us living in the circumstances we're living in society. This is a decaying society. This is an increasingly secular, anti-God society. This is increasingly a society that lives by and propagates philosophies that are inconsistent with the person of God. We live in the midst of a people who have decided that they will live life as if there were no God at all. By the way, even if the entire society decides God doesn't exist, he will not cease to exist. To deny the existence of God and to deny the fundamentals of life itself does not cause any of those things to go away. Nonetheless, we live as they were. But listen, though times may be bleak and the circumstances and the conditions in the world may be bleak, the outlook is glorious. Because listen, when Isaiah had this vision, you know what he saw? He saw the Almighty God, creator of all that is, sitting, you know where? On his throne. You see, God is a sovereign God. God is in control of all things at all times. And God does not delegate or give up his power or his sovereignty to you or to me or to anybody else. As a matter of fact, we know from Scripture that unless the Lord continually causes everything to move as it ought to, for there to even be life on this planet, it would cease to even exist. None of us can guarantee ourselves with the very next breath we're going to take. None of us have control virtually over anything that has any significance or consequence in our lives. That is the bottom line truth, folks. I don't care how many degrees you have in what subjects. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care who you're associated with. I don't care what positions you have, be it in government, in corporations, in anything. It does not matter. At the end of the day, you live because God causes you and gives you the ability to do so. And when Isaiah saw this, he saw the Almighty Sovereign God sitting on his throne, causing life to be. You don't have to believe God exists. God never twists your arm to believe what you don't want to believe. But please understand that denying the evident, denying what your heart tells you, denying what your conscience tells you, has consequences. And existing as if God didn't exist is just mere existence. It's not living, folks. We live in an ever-increasing society that is secular, materialistic, atheistic, agnostic. We live in a society determined to continue itself based on its own so-called power and ability to do so. Listen, you will never convince me, and I don't believe you can ever convince yourself, that as we look at the history of this country, let's not even go outside. Let's stay within our borders, within our history. There's no way that you can't convince me that over the last 50 years, we have become a far more secular, materialistic, anti-God society. That's a given. That's a given. Look at the state of the country today. Look at the moral condition of this nation today. And we've moved in that direction because we've allowed those so-called experts out there to tell us that we're nothing more than biological beings who have evolved from nothing, from single-celled organisms to what we are today, which they have just by doing that stripped us from any value whatsoever. I mean, why should you not kill me tomorrow? Because if you kill me tomorrow, all you've done away with is with an evolved organism. That's all you've done away with. Yet we have laws that say you can't kill. Why? We live in the type of society we live today because we have all these politically correct people telling us that there is no God and that we can live life as if there were no God. You can't deny we moved in that direction, but let me show you as evidence how wrong they are. There is no way that you will convince me also that we don't live in a far more treacherous world than we did even 50 years ago in this country. There is absolutely no question in my mind that we are 100 times worse off today than we were 50 years ago because of the moral and spiritual decay we've experienced in this nation. You don't have to agree with me, and I'm not even asking you to agree with me. Just look at the evidence. Turn on your TV, read the newspapers on a daily basis. It is depressing. It is frustrating, and it is angering that a bunch of so-called experts can take 300 million people and tell them God doesn't exist and take this nation and cause it to become a society as if that lives as if God didn't exist and then try to convince us that we're better off now. We're not. But anyway, in spite of how things may look out there and how, in spite of how depressing and frustrating and angering things may be, we must take great joy in the fact that we know for a fact today God is still sitting on that throne. And at the end of the day, He will have the last word, and everything He will do, He will do for His own glory. And there is not a single soul. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me very clearly, because I know there's a lot of you out there listening to me who don't agree with anything I'm saying. That's fine. But let me tell you, there's not a single human being who will not one day be brought before the presence of the Almighty God and be held accountable for their life and their beliefs and their deeds. None of you out there who have refused to believe that God exists, none of you out there who are working so hard to convince the rest of the world that God doesn't exist, none of you will be exempt from coming before the Almighty and being judged for what you have done. That is, folks, listen, you don't have to agree with me, but it's a given. It is a given. You will one day answer to the Almighty God. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what He said as He saw God sitting on His throne. The whole earth, verse 3, the whole earth is full of His glory. Listen. You're not some evolved organism. You were created by the hand of God, and as you were being created and molded by the hand of God in the womb of your mother, God breathed into you the breath of life and gave you value and worth. Killing somebody is wrong because you're killing somebody who was created in the image and likeness of God. And you live in a world that screams for the existence of God. There is no way you can go outside and look at what has been created and not see the earth being full of His glory. You can deny it all you want, but you're fighting and denying the obvious. I mean, for you to deny the existence of God just tells me you've done very little of your homework. Because if you did your homework, there's absolutely no way that you would not change your mind and believe that there is a God and that there is a good God who sits on His throne and whose glory fills the whole earth. Now, the second thing I want to point out is that when he saw this vision, Isaiah is horrified at his own unholiness. Listen, you're not as good as you think you are. You're not as great as you think you are. You're not as bright as you think you are. You're not as smart as you think you are. In fact, your best in life is nothing more than filthy rags compared to the holiness of God. And if you ever come into contact with God and see God or experience God, you will, like Him, fall to your knees crying out, "Woe am I." He said he was of unclean lips, that he lived in the midst of a people with unclean lips. You know what you have to have before you have unclean lips? An unclean heart. Because what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. When he saw himself before the Almighty God, he saw the incredible, indescribable, unbelievable, awesome holiness of God, and in contrast, he saw himself for who he was, though God's epitome of creation, a filthy one because of sin. God loves you, and God has provided Himself as a sacrifice to die in your place so that you might be saved. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to believe the gospel at all. But there's a consequence for denying the evident. Look at human nature. Look at society today. Society today is nothing more than a commentary on the condition of the human heart. I mean, society and the environment we live in has the capacity to scare the daylights out of us. You know why? Because man is acting out what's in his heart. And God says, "I want to change that heart. I want to cause you to be born again so that you not only will change in this life, but you will spend the next life with me forever. But I'm not going to make you make that choice. You can decide not to to accept my gift at a high cost to yourself, not only in this life, but in the life to come." But it also tells us that He provides us His cleansing. Isaiah's conviction led to confession, and his confession led to cleansing. And God was faithful in forgiving him of his sins and cleansing him of all unrighteousness, though that cleansing was painful. We have lots of other examples in Scripture of great men and women of God who humbled themselves before God because they were convicted, and their conviction led to confession, and their confession led to cleansing. And there's two things I want to say here. First of all, For those of you who don't know Jesus, this is the application. Though you may not see God literally, physically, if you listen to the gospel and you're open to the gospel, you will experience your uncleanliness as you become a witness to the holiness of God. And as you listen to the gospel and are willing to respond to that gospel, you will be led to confession, and that confession will lead to the same result that did in Isaiah's experience, cleansing. And for the believer, listen, if you're not living a life that brings glory to God, if your absolute priority in life is not Jesus, God is going to chasten you and discipline you for your own good. And that chastening and that discipline will bring conviction, and that conviction will lead to confession, and that confession will lead to cleansing. And then we're told in this passage in verse 8 that, in fact, let's read that passage. Listen to what it says. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Let me stop right there for a minute. As Isaiah saw the holiness of God, and as he understood his own uncleanness, as he understood what sin was and how guilty he was as a sinner himself, he was convicted. And his convicted led to confession, and his confession led to cleansing. And once God had cleansed him of his sin, though painful as it was, then God said, Isaiah, you live in a big world, a world that is lost and dying. Christian, listen to me. You live in a big world, in a world that is lost and dying, and the harvest is plenty, and God is saying, who of those of you that I have cleansed will go out into this large world, into this lost and dying world, and preach my gospel? Listen to his response. And I said, here am I, send me. Once you've seen and experienced the Lord, you will never be the same, but he expects you to now live as one who will be Jesus in this lost and dying world. There is no greater experience or pleasure or privilege in life. Father, we are so grateful for who you are. We only understand the very little you've revealed, and even that is way too much. But we are grateful that you love us, that you have cleansed us, and now that we are privileged to be called to go out and serve you with all our hearts. We give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we're able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who He claimed to be and who the Bible claims Him to be. I ask Him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in His name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now His child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing, and I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.